Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here. Bright, smiley, bushy-tailed. You guys ready for exercise? You look so energetic. We're going to have exercise class this morning. Well, I got you smiling and laughing. Dave's ready to go. Yeah, upper part. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, it's a blessed day. I'll tell you what, I see folks walking around without Christ in their heart and life, and I tell you, I honestly don't know how they do it. I really don't. I thank God for everything that He's blessed us with. You know how much we got to be thankful for as God's children? A lot. We have a lot to be thankful for. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we leave this world, we're going to enter that heavenly city and we're going to be with Christ for eternity. Now that ought to give you a reason to smile if nothing else does. So hey, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, 11th chapter, verses 5 through 13. I'm going to be preaching today on God of grace. And when you get to the scripture, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please, if you're able to stand. Luke 11, 5 through 13. Then He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, God, that you are a God of grace, that you are a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness and love. And Father God, when we ask for forgiveness, you do forgive us. And Father, you don't remember our sins anymore. Let us take that into our hearts and remember that today and from here on out. And God, we pray, Father, that you will give us the Holy Spirit every day to work in our lives, to change us, to motivate us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. The Father, when we feel like we can't go another step, Lord, your Holy Spirit is at work inside of our lives and giving us the power that we need to go the extra mile. And we thank you for that, Father. And God, as I preach this message today, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and nothing from my thoughts or my own flesh, for we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question. I always try to do this to make you, I want to make you think. Do you have confidence in God? Now don't wonder about who's sitting next to you, whether they got the confidence. I want you to ask yourself, do I have confidence in God? Basically, Are you putting your total faith and trust in Him? If you're not, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you this morning to not rely on yourself to get through this life, because you'll fall flat on your face. You won't make it if you depend on yourself. We don't have the resources to meet our own needs. But what we do have, we have a God in heaven who knows everything. And if we go to Him and we ask Him, then God is willing to give to us what we need. Jesus told us a parable in His Word about a persistent friend who had so much confidence in the goodness of his friend that he had the boldness to go to him at midnight and he asked for help, but he persistently asked for help. And Jesus is teaching us a great deal about the character of God and what He desires from us. The character of God, He's great and He's mighty. And the first thing that I want to look at this morning is that through Jesus, we have a genuine relationship with God. A genuine this is a bold relationship. Now, God created relationships. He created people to have relationship with Him. Now, I tell you what, as a human being, you all know that it's important that we have a good relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because in time of need or in time of want, what's the one thing that we want to do? We want to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ when we're in need. Why? Because we want to feel the physical comfort. We want to feel the hugs, the love. We want to hear the actual words that people have to speak to us. So God created relationship so that you and I would not get lonely. Now God, He wanted to have fellowship, so He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve, and even though they sinned and fell, God still wanted to have a relationship with man and woman. So we know that God wants to genuinely and in a deep way, He wants to know us. And if God is going to have a relationship with us, then there are things that God expects from you and I. God expects for you and I to be faithful. God expects you and I to love Him, to obey His Word, to love other people, to serve others, and to abstain from all appearance of evil, to stay away from sin. God wants us to read His Word, pray to Him, remain faithful. He wants us to uphold the call that Christ gave us, and that is to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God holds us to a standard. Now, I hear a lot of people say, now, I don't know, I have a problem with this or that. You know what? I think we need to look at ourselves for a moment, and I think we need to get rid of the excuses in our life. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, He didn't give a bunch of excuses why He couldn't go and die for us. Christ went to the cross willingly because He knew that in order for us to have a close relationship with God, in order for our sins to be forgiven, He was going to have to go and be the sacrificial lamb. He was going to have to shed His blood for us in order for the gap to be closed off so that we could have direct access to the throne of God. That's the type of relationship that God the Father and his son Jesus want to have with us, the children. That's what they desire. But God wants us to be committed. So if Christ was committed in every way to go into the cross without dragging his feet, without throwing a fit, without calling down the angels from heaven to come and get him off the cross, if he was fully committed to endure a brutal punishment, I mean, when they beat him, there was no skin and muscle left. I guarantee you that you could literally see the bone and the probably the flesh, the inner workings of the body. I'm sure you could see body parts literally after the guards had beat him and tore his body completely up and then put a crown of thorns on top of his head. And I guarantee you that those thorns had to have been 8 to 10 inches long, and they didn't cut the thorns down before they shoved that on Jesus' head. They shoved those thorns down upon him, and it pierced into his head, into the skull, and blood flowed. He endured something so gruesome because he was committed. He was committed to upholding his part of the relationship that he wanted to have with us. So God is expecting things out of you and I. God wants us to be faithful in every way. God wants us to serve him with a glad heart. But I want to say this, and I'm not pointing a finger of judgment, but here's what I want to call out, not on anybody here, but on a lot of Christians today. I see a lot of Christians who would rather lay on their back and whine and complain about having to walk with God and having to endure things in life. They would rather just lay there like probably a carcass on the side of the road and never have to participate in life. People don't have the fortitude. They don't have the power that God's put inside of them. And people today, they are not in the Word. They are not praying, and they are not seeking the will of God. They're just going through the motions of life, and sadly, you see it. People go to church, they'll sit in a chair, they'll come in defeated, and they'll leave church defeated, and that's how they'll live their whole life. But what Christ did on the cross for you and I, it was not an ordinary happening. This was a supernatural occurrence that took place when the one who was immortal became mortal and gave his life and then rose from the dead and closed the gap that was caused by our sin so that we would have the ability to have fellowship and to have a relationship with him. Now, I tell you what, that right there makes me want to live for the Lord. I don't know about anybody else. But what I know he's delivered me from in this life, it gives me every reason to want to live for him. And I want to say this. A lot of people say, well, preachers have a good life. Boy, they preach the word. They just seem to be happy and joyful. I want to tell you something. A preacher's life is not joyful. It's not always the greatest. You know why? Because preachers have to sometimes go into places and they have to deal with certain situations that aren't always the best. They're not always the prettiest. And here's what I want to share with you. My relationship with the Lord, I've got to put him first. So when I'm going to go serve somebody, when I'm going to go minister in some way, I have to say, Lord, I need you to walk before me. Father, I need you to cover me. I need your anointing. I need your power. I need your Holy Spirit to speak through me, because if I go in there as myself, it's going to be a train wreck. I have to give everything to God. I have to release everything to the Lord day after day. It's sometimes lonely in the ministry, but I'll tell you what, in the lonely times when I'm feeling like nobody really cares or whatever, And that does happen with every pastor. That's why pastors are leaving the pulpit. That's why pastors are falling into sin, because they're not abiding in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're not walking with Him like they should. I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. I have faults like anybody else. But I'm here to tell you, my relationship is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as there's breath in these two lungs, I will proclaim to the world what God has done for me, what He's doing inside of me, because I want to see others have a changed life. I want to see others get saved. I want others to know the joy and the experience of loving the Lord and living for Him. Secondly, you have direct access to the throne of God. Now, the death of Jesus, the burial and the resurrection, I said it closed off the gap. Before that, there was no coming directly to the throne of God. You couldn't approach the throne of grace. Jesus made that possible. And now that gap has been closed off, we should not let time stand still. We should not let things get in the way from us coming to the Father. Just as this man had a friend who came to him knocking on his door at midnight, said, "Hey, I need some loaves." And the man was persistent. He kept knocking on his door and asking. That's what we need to be doing with God. We need to be persistent with the Lord. I preached to you last week about the little woman who kept going to the judge about the problem that she had. And man, she wore him down. And finally he said, "Look, give her what she wants. Get her off my back." Now, luckily, God's not going to do that. I want you to know this. God desires for you to come to Him. Now, I'll guarantee you that God's not going to do this very thing. God's not going to do this. Well, there's Bob Thomas again on his knees praying. What's he going to ask for this time? Probably going to be the same thing you prayed for yesterday. God doesn't do that. I guarantee you that when Bob Thomas gets on his face before the Lord and prays, or sits in his seat and prays, I guarantee you that the Father is overwhelmed with joy to hear from His children. So if we have direct access to the throne, then why aren't we taking advantage of it? Why are we wandering around thinking that we've got the ability to take care of every problem? We are not supermen and superwomen. God, though, He is supernatural. God is above everything. And if we have direct access to His throne, then we need to persistently come to Him, and we need to ask for the things that we need in this life, but we need to ask in faith. And when we ask in faith, we need to believe that He has heard us and that He will answer us in whose time? His time. Not our timetable. Oh, I tell you many times. Now, I'll tell you something here. This something funny's been going on the last few weeks. I need to get me a new vehicle. My truck's getting really old and it's got some problems. And I tell you what, Lord, just keep her running. Just keep her running. She's been good, faithful old thing. She's got over 210,000 miles, uses the oil. I have to put a little extra oil in between oil changes. But I said, "Lord, I'm not going to go on the car lot and start looking. Lord, I need a new vehicle. And Lord, I want to be wise with what I spend on a vehicle, because I want this to be under Your authority and Your will." I said, "So Lord, You help me find a vehicle." Well, then guess what? This week I'm online and I'm looking at the car dealerships. What I told the Lord, well, I was already trying to get the situation and I couldn't find anything and I got frustrated. And well, I always said this, behind every man there's a better woman. And my wife's sitting over there going, what's the matter? I said, I can't find nothing online. Ain't nothing. I said, all these used cars, I said, boy, the prices, they're so high on them, high mileage stuff, and they're asking the same price that they would a brand new car. And she says, didn't look at the new cars. Oh, that's what I have been. And I said, they're so high priced. I said, who wants to buy one? I'll just keep driving my truck. And she said, you're not letting God take this, are you? I wasn't yelling or nothing. I will let you know that. I wasn't yelling and having a fit. I was just getting frustrated. So refocus, approach the throne and say, Father. Now this probably seems pretty trivial, but for a preacher, when I have to go visit folks or go places, it helps to have a good dependable vehicle. I'll get it out. So I have to put it in God's hands. Everything I've got to put in God's hands. But for coming to the throne of God, Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need power. Lord, I need to be lifted up. I'm weak today. Strengthen me, Father. I've got situations going on, God, that I don't have the answers for. There's sickness in my body. There's trouble in my life. There's trouble in my family. There's things going on in the world. Father, I don't know what to do, but I'm at your throne because I know that I can draw from you every good thing that I need. And I know that if I leave it here, you'll take it off of my back and you will give me rest. See, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Now, that's how much Jesus cares about a relationship with you and I, that he made it possible for us to come to the throne. Wow. Now, I don't want to let any time go by. I'm sure that God, you know, if God was kind of be like, well, here's Jim again. I approach the throne a lot during the day. And there's so many times that I pray and I pray and I pray. And a lot of times I pray the same healings or the same prayers for people because I believe that God can do anything, but I have to wait on Him. And also that, going to the throne of God, it helps to increase my faith in Him. It gives me the courage to stand and walk in His footsteps. I don't ever want to try and walk through this life alone. And we have to come boldly to the throne of God. I want to read that again. Come boldly. You know what bold means? That means to stand firm, be strong, tough. If you have to, be like a Clint Eastwood. How many of you ever watched Clint Eastwood westerns? And boy, old Clint Eastwood walk in there, that hat on, that look on his face, and everybody just kind of seemed to scatter when he walked. You know what? That's the kind of Christians we need to be. We need to be tough and bold. And we need to come before God. Because see, God's not going to backhand you and knock you over if you come to Him with a need. You know what God's saying to you? God's saying, I want you to come to me, but I don't want you to come to me with a wimpy attitude. If Christ is in you, you are a new creature in Christ. You are filled with boldness. Because when Jesus comes into your heart and life, you are given the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you this, the Holy Spirit is not a weak vessel. The Holy Spirit is not weak. So if the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you, then it's time for us to come boldly and approach the throne and ask of God whatever it is and then believe that God has heard us. And then when we see the prayer answered, however God answers it, now I want you to listen to this. Don't expect God to answer your prayer how you think it should be answered. You should expect your prayers to be answered how God wants to answer them in His timing, and then you need to give Him the honor, the glory, and the praise, and be thankful, because when you're thankful, It's going to do a lot for your life. It's going to do a lot for your attitude. God's not going to honor somebody, or I don't believe this. I really don't. I don't believe that God's going to answer prayer for somebody that comes crawling up there crying and oh Lord, I'm just no good. And Lord, I think you could do this. And Lord, no, that's not what God wants. I know that there's times we're going to be broken. We're going to go through emotional turmoil. We're going to face things in life. And I'll say this, and I'll say this honestly. I worked as a paramedic, and Sarah does it as a first responder. And she goes into situations that I guarantee are not the prettiest. And they can really have an impact upon the physical life. Because when I worked as a paramedic, I mean, hey, there was a lot of things that I had to face whenever I came on shift. And when I worked that 12-hour shift, I never knew what was coming in. But all I know was I had to trust God to get me through it. And when I did my job, I didn't go in there, you know, with this attitude of, well, I can't really help you because I've got things in my life going on. I had to stand up and do a job, and that's what God is expecting of us as His children. There are things we're going to go through, things we're going to be faced with that aren't pleasant, but when we stand before God and we ask Him boldly to answer our prayers, He will do just that. Now, when we ask for wisdom, when we ask for knowledge and understanding, God will give it to us freely, and He'll give it to us in abundance immediately, because God wants us to learn His way. And how do you get that? I say this in many a sermon. Read your Bible. Pray. Seek the Lord. I want to ask this for anybody that's got social media, for anybody that's got DirecTV or whatever, Dish Network, satellite, whatever. How many of you spend more time on social media? How many of us spend more time parked in front of a television than we do reading our Bibles? Sometimes we think, well, I read a chapter this morning, I'm good. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Study. That means if you've got downtime, here's the best thing to do. Pick up that word and start reading. Now, I got up. Now, I'm not expecting no pat on the back, but I did. I got up this morning and I read 4 chapters in Luke. And boy, did the Lord speak through His Word. I learned a lot through His Word. And I tend to read things a little slow, maybe back them up and read it again. But I always ask the Lord, Father, when I'm reading, reveal yourself to me. Help me to learn something new about you. Help me, God, to grow. Help me to be stronger. So when I go through this life, that I'm going to be able to just give it all to you in faith. I'm going to be able to rest in you, because I can always come boldly before you. And lastly, God will only give you the very best. Now, I tell you this, you ask God for something that you need, and I told you last week, that doesn't mean you can go to God and say, Lord, I want to win the lottery, or Lord, I'd like a brand new Mercedes-Benz, or Lord, I'd like a Rolls Royce. He knows our heart. He knows what we need. Now, you know, I ask for a vehicle. Hey, if somebody came to me and said, Brother Jim, I got a vehicle you could have, and it had 80,000, I'd accept it. Praise God for that. You know, I don't need a Cadillac. I don't need anything fancy. I just need a vehicle. And then I know that He'll give that vehicle. And you know what? I need food and clothing, and He knows that I need these things, and He provides them when I ask for them. But He gives me the best. He gives me the best because I want to give Him my best. See, with my life, He's given us the very best of everything. He gave us the best thing of all. He gave us His Son, Jesus. And I want to give Him my very best. I don't want to come to church with a sour attitude. I want to come to church and I want to praise Him. I want to come to church joyfully. I want to come to church giving Him all the glory. And I want to hug people. And I want to have talks with them and pray with folks. I want to know what's going on. You know, because God has given me His very best. So I want to give back to Him the very best that I've got. I want to be my best for Him. I want to be living by the Spirit. I want to bear good fruit. I want to pray. I want to witness. I don't want to go through this life with stress on my shoulders and worries on my back. I just want to give it all to Him. I want to give Him my best because He's not withheld His best for me. You know, I tell you this. Now, I'm not a rich person. I'm not. I'm not at all. And I don't want to be. The Bible says you can't serve God and money. I'd rather serve God. But I'll tell you this. What I do have, if I knew somebody in need, if I got it, I want to give it to them. Here's something really caught my attention one time. A friend of mine, a lot of you might know his name, Mike Adkins. I love Mike Adkins. Good man. He was taking care of what you call the town bum, lived right across the street from him. And he said he got over there and was helping Norman, and he said he was taking care of all this stuff for Norman. And he said, finally, he said the load got too much for him, and he said, God, I can't do this anymore. Lord, I need help. I need to do the right things, Lord, for Norman. And he saw one day in Norman's closet, they had all these clothes that people had given him. And it was old clothes that those people wouldn't wear anymore. But they gave it to Norman, even though it had holes in it, even though it was musty and smelly, because they didn't care. Mike said, the Lord put upon his heart, I want you to take Norman out and buy him a brand new suit. So he took Norman, gave him a bath. He said, Norman said, I ain't had a bath in a long time, Mike. He says, well, Norman, today's your day. You're going to get that bath. Got him a bath, cleaned him up, took him uptown West Frankfort, Illinois, and took him to the men's suit store, had him measured, and bought him a brand new navy blue pinstripe suit. And Mike said there was a gospel singing at the church that weekend. He said, Norman, you want to go to the gospel singing? And he said, Norman had worn them old bummy dirty clothes for all these years living by himself. He said, can I wear my new suit, Mike? He says, you sure can. And Mike said, after they got him dressed up, shaved him, and combed and styled his pretty white hair, he said he looked like a senator. Now, that's what I'm saying. God gives us His best. Why aren't we giving our best to people? But you know what best we need to be given? We need to be given the love of the Lord. We can give good things. We can give material things. And that's what I want to say real quick. If you're giving something to somebody, make sure you're giving them the best. Because God will reward you in due time. But when you're giving the best, give them Jesus. Because that's the greatest gift you can give anybody, is to give them Jesus.